मच्छुता मद्भुता प्राणा बोधयन्था परस्परम् कथयन्थश्चनम् नित्यम् तिष्ठन्ति च रमन्ति च. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport by His Divine Grace, the Shiva Kundan Swami, for the God. Three devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Their thoughts are solely on the transcendental subject. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. In this narration, there is nothing about material activity, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and His devotees is fully described. Thus the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literature, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. Or as we can see by the beautiful unusual decoration in our temple today, that it is Saint Valentine's Day. And Rupa Goswami explains that the most complete form of renunciation is to learn to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. Everything has its spiritual essence. Something becomes spiritual simply when it is connected in loving service to the Supreme Lord. Nothing is material even except our own perception. When the energy that is given to us within our life by God, when it is misused and directed for the temporary activity of the senses' longings for their objects, that perception creates a material situation where there is bondage, where there is birth and old age, disease and death, where there is disappointment and frustration which culminates in all of our endeavors, ultimately. But when that same blessed energy is simply offered in the loving service of the Lord in consciousness of Krishna, it is transformed into spiritual energy. And the result or the symptoms of that energy are an increase of love, of joy, and of purification. So today, all over America, and perhaps other parts of the world as well, people are giving their hearts to their beloved. I think that's what Valentine's Day means. Everyone gives a picture of a heart, which is supposed to represent your heart, and you're offering it to those you love. Little children, they offer to their friends. In school, I don't know, but I remember in the old days in school, every student has to give Valentine to every other student in class. It was mandatory. And I remember the boys, you would get a package of Valentine's, like 30, 40 in a package, and you would pick the best one and write your friend's name. And the worst one, you would save for the girls. Right? Because if you give a good one to the girls, then all your friends would laugh at you and criticize you. Do you like girls? No, no, I don't, really. I hate them. But then as they grow older, then they don't give anything to any boys anymore. Then their whole consciousness, their whole heart is very much directed toward their beloved, their girlfriend, their wife, their lover, like that. So in this way, you see how in our society, human consciousness evolves. Because the giving of the heart is a very serious thing. To show our love for one another is a very serious thing. Human form of life is meant that all living beings show their love for one another. But to show our love for one another, we must understand what love really means. Love is the nature of the soul. And the soul is seated within the heart. When we say we offer our heart to you, what we really mean is we are offering our soul to you. Because the soul is living within the heart. It is the consciousness within the heart. It is what animates the heart. The heart without a soul is simply dead. The heart cannot love. Can the heart of a dead body love anything or anyone? It is the soul that loves. So when we talk about the heart, we are really speaking about the residence of the soul. So what is the great longing that the soul has? It is to love. It is its internal nature to love. But why, if the soul's eternal nature is to show affection, is to find ultimate joy, peace, satisfaction in offering its love, why within this world we see the heart and the soul need so much frustration and dissatisfaction? Why the heart is such a lonely place? Actually, this is the great problem of the world, that people's hearts are starving. Starvation is a big problem. Just as the body needs food for nourishment. But to fill the belly is not a difficult thing. Just put some food in it and you're satisfied for a while. But the soul, the heart, also requires food. That is why we see so many times very, very rich people. They're well nourished, they're strong, sometimes really quite fat. But their hearts are emaciated. Their hearts are starving. Their hearts are lonely. What does starvation mean? Starvation means emptiness. Just as the belly becomes lonely for food, the soul and the heart become slowly lonely to be filled. And what we do when our hearts are empty, we try to just fill it with something, anything, just to forget this loneliness. And superficially, we make so many extravagant arrangements to forget the pain of starvation in our heart. Just like people watch the television. It's just an easy way to forget the loneliness of your own life. You just completely superimpose all these other ideas on your brain. Whose ideas? They're not God's ideas. They're not our ideas. They're the ideas of people who want to exploit you to take your money. And they know that you're such a lonely creature of the earth, that you'll give your consciousness and you'll give your heart, you'll give your attention to anything that will just make you forget this loneliness, intoxicate you, like opium. When you're in pain, opium just makes you feel so much that you just forget the pain. And it's so easy. All you have to do is push a button. And then there you are, in a world outside of yourself, superimposing all craziness, all other subject matter, just to forget the emptiness within. And people take intoxication for the same reason. People drink alcohol, people take drugs for the same reason. And for the same reason, people are looking for girlfriends and boyfriends. Sometimes one after another, after another, after another, after another, and so many after another. Why? Because they're so lonely, they have to forget it. But no matter how much sex, and no matter how much drugs, and no matter how much television, and no matter how much music and everything else, you can temporarily forget that that emptiness, that loneliness is still within your heart. And that is the problem. And that is why there's so much conflict and greed and crime. There's a problem of women being raped. There's a problem with people being murdered. There's a problem with so much terrible drug abuse. There's problems of alcoholism. There's problems of wars. Wars based on religion. Wars based on politics. Wars based on racialism. The root cause of all these wars and all this conflict and all this aggravation in society is simply
groups of hearts are empty.
They're lonely. They're frustrated. And they're trying, and they're desperate to try to do something or anything to find relief. They want to possess, to conquer, to be the proprietor of that land. But even we find such people
still frustrated.
Last time I was here, I was thinking the wealthiest Indian family in the world, worth billions upon billions of dollars, so much control, so much power, but they're still somewhat pious, believe it or not. They had so much. One of their friends was telling me one time they were in Switzerland. You know, Swiss Air is famous for never being late for any flight. They're always on time. Well, they were on some vacation in Switzerland, and they were late getting to the airport, and they were going to be about 2-3 hours late. So they just called the Swiss Air and said, "We're going to be late. Hold the plane for us." Yes, of course. People would like to have such influence over others. Houses, palaces, mansions all over the world. But one of their sons committed suicide out of total frustration, and the whole family is totally miserable. All they can do is just look around for some spiritual person to show them a meaning to life. This is the reality. We see even great conquerors of the world, like Napoleon, like Hitler. They conquered so many lands, but they still weren't satisfied. They have to conquer more and more and more and more and more. So they're never satisfied. And ultimately, they either commit suicide or they end up just losing everything. Why? No matter how much you gain, if your heart does not have that love that it's looking for, it will simply be alone in starving condition. So therefore, if we really want to give our love to another, we have to realize the true conception of our own soul. You cannot give something that you do not have. We can sentimentally say, "I love you." But do we really understand what it's about? Do we really understand who are you? I mean, anyone can just take a piece of paper and say, "I love you." But that paper is not going to last very long. Love is more than a piece of paper. Love is more than something than a four-letter word. Love is an experience of truth, of the presence, of the spiritual nature of our own heart. And the more we understand and realize that experience, the more we can actually give to others. Where there is love, there is sacrifice. Sacrifice means service. To love someone means to be the servant of that person. To be willing to make any sacrifice for the benefit or the pleasure of your beloved. This day is called Saint Valentine's Day. Do you know who Saint Valentine was? He was an early Christian saint who lived very shortly after Lord Jesus Christ, and he actually understood what is love. Love means to love God. And to love another means to share that love of God with another. Under any cost. And he was so anxious to share his love of God with other people that he was persecuted. And ultimately, the Roman Empire captured him and murdered him. He was a martyr. This is love. How many people think of St. Valentine's Day as this? Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day means the day to commemorate a person who was willing to give his life to share his love of God with other people. So let us discuss for a few moments what it means to love God. To love God is the natural characteristic of the heart. Because the soul is part of God. The soul is eternal, it is full of knowledge, and it is full of bliss. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Slavanari Siddha Chiti Kodiye Udoi. That pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. Just like the sun has infinite rays, which are all of the same quality as the sun, which are all simply glorifying the light of the sun. Similarly, Krishna or God is like that sun. And the soul in every living being's heart is a little part of that one supreme Godhead. And the light and the love of God is within all of our hearts. It is our nature to give God's light to the world, just like a sun ray gives the sun's light to the world, is the nature of our soul. But when the cloud, when the dark cloud covers the sun and all of its rays, it's not appreciated. It's great benefit. So similarly, the cloud of illusion and material attachment, the cloud which is called Maya, has covered the pristine, pure, loving qualities of our own soul. And when we look within, all we see is that cloud. And when we look without, all we see is what is within. That cloud. You see, the whole world is just a perception of our own heart. A saintly person who loves God sees God's love everywhere and in everything. But a person whose heart is covered by that cloud of illusion sees illusion everywhere. Lust, anger, pride, greed, envy, illusion. These are the six qualities which cover the pure soul. And therefore, spiritual life, the essence of all religion, is simply to cleanse these qualities, to dissipate this cloud and allow the true qualities of the soul, to allow God's love to shine through our life toward everyone we meet. For the entire creation. Religion doesn't mean to be a Hindu or a Christian or a Buddhist or a Jew or a Muslim or a Jain or a Parsi. Religion means to clean our heart of this cloud, of this dust, and allow the godly quality of the soul to manifest. Religion means to love. Jesus didn't say be a Christian. He just said, love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Krishna did not say, dear Hindu. He said, sarva dharma parityaja aham ekam saranam vraja aham samsara papevyo moksha visamimasi. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me with love. To love means to surrender. Love means utter, absolute surrender to the beloved. Even in this world, we can have that understanding to some extent. The purest form of love in this world is perhaps the love between a mother and a child. And when that child is helpless, the mother surrenders to the needs of that child, no matter how difficult it is. But what is love of God? God has come into this world to teach us how to love God and what love God is in its purest and most exalted form. It is described in the scripture that in this particular age, the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, Sri Krishna, incarnates within this world to distribute love for himself in the role of his own devotee. And this divine form appeared as Lord Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was teaching us. Beautiful verse that he has written, he has explained the nature of true love that we should all strive for. Ashlasya vapadratam panashtumam madarasana maramahatam karotiva yatata tata vidatatu lampato matrananatasti saheva napraha. My dear Lord, I am offering my heart and my love to you. Now you do whatever you want with it. If you want, you can embrace me with your great affection. If you want, you can trample upon me. If you want, you can make me brokenhearted by neglecting me. You have any right to do any way you want with my heart because it is yours. I have offered it to you. Everyone loves to be embraced by one's beloved. Sometimes Krishna, the Lord, will fulfill all of your desires, will bring great prosperity and joy to your life. The Lord Chaitanya taught that I have placed my heart as a speck of dust at your lotus feet, my Lord. And if you want, you can take that love with your feet and you can trample upon it. You can treat it like dirt. You can bring catastrophes, miseries, sufferings, and all types of tribulations into my life. That is your right. My heart belongs to you. You can punish me any way you want. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one great saint, he prayed that, my Lord, the pains and sufferings that I undergo in serving you are the greatest pleasures of my life. This is love. Love means to give. Lust means to take. A devotee's only expectation, his only prayer, is simply for more service. Not for any material situation of life. But more difficult than praise, and more difficult than punishment, is neglect. My Lord, if you want, you can treat me like I'm a stranger, like I'm a foreigner, like you don't even know me. If you like, you can treat me in such a way that you will not even look at my face. And you make me feel like the lowest thing on earth. And when I'm expecting your favor, you may ignore me and show that favor to someone else right before my eyes. My Lord, if that is how you want to deal with me, please, let it be. My heart is yours. Do what you want with it. That is sacrifice. That is called surrender. And through all of this, I am simply grateful. In divine ecstasy, just to continue my service for your pleasure. I am your servant unconditionally. This is love. Material love is conditional. Spiritual love is unconditional. It is not simply some sentiment. It is the highest realization of life. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Na janam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavata bhakti rahayata kipvai. He's expressing a sublime aspect of what is real love. He said, my Lord, what everyone is seeking for in this world, I do not want. I do not want wealth. People are working so hard like asses, waking up so early in the morning, driving through so much terrible traffic, riding on trains and doing so many things that they hate to do. Why? To gain some wealth. Mad, intoxicated for wealth. Mahaprabhu says, I do not want wealth. Nor do I want beautiful women. Or for a woman, a beautiful man. You know what a motivating force that is in this world? People are so deeply and excruciatingly motivated for the company of a beautiful man or woman. I do not want that. Nor do I want even fame and popularity, acceptance in society, social position. People love to be praised. They love to be accepted. Let people misunderstand me. I don't mind. I don't want fame. I don't want followers. I don't even want liberation. Certain people strive for salvation or liberation, to be free from the sufferings of world forever. Lord Chaitanya says, I don't even care for that. I don't mind suffering. I only aspire for one thing, that I can be your servant birth after birth after birth, on your terms, not my terms, on your terms. That is love. And that is the only condition that will satisfy our soul. Nothing short of this will give real nourishment and pleasure to our hearts. And to inspire another with anything short of the way and the means by which they can attain this state is not real love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked. The sublime way of awakening that love of God within our own hearts and distributing that love to others. The Supreme Most Valentine expressed the Supreme Most expression of love we can offer to another is to impart to someone the blessed opportunity in life to perfect our consciousness through chanting God's holy name. This is the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the world. This is God's Valentine to the world. Krishna himself is giving his own heart to every one of us through his name. He's given the ways and the means to his heart, to everyone, through his name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that one who distributes the name of God within this world is the supreme welfare worker, the supreme lover. But we cannot give something we do not have. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, first, take this gift of my love and chant my name. When we come together to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we are simply accepting the sublime gift of God. And the holy name dissipates that cloud of illusion within our heart, removes the dust that is covering the pure light of the soul. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Chaita Dharapna Marajanam, Bhavanahada Vagni Nirvapanam, Sreya Kairava Chandrakava Taranam, Vijavatu Jivanam. Anandam Vurivaradanam Pratipadam Punam Ratashvahadanam Sarvatsna Paramparam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sanatetanam. Evil. But the holy name is the prime benediction for all humanity. We will. In fact, Lord Chaitanya in this verse explains that the holy name is the benediction moon for all of humanity. It's like this full moon. The moon is radiating volumes and volumes of cool, refreshing light. And it is also explained that the light of the moon nourishes all vegetation. So the holy name is like that benediction moon that bestows the ultimate nourishment upon everyone's heart. The first thing the name does when it enters into our heart, our consciousness, is it cleanses it, it purifies it. All of those anarthas or unwanted things are veritably destroyed by the pure sound of God's name. Anandam buddhivaradhanam pratipadam punam ritashvadhanam. And that experience of ecstasy that we are all searching for, hankering for, longing for in every aspect of our life is experienced and realized forever when our heart is cleansed. Sarvatmasna param padam vijayate sri Krishna sankirtanam. Victory over all. Victory over all the weaknesses and over all of the anxieties, frustrations, suffering. Victory. Victory over death itself is attained by the grace of the Holy Name. This is the great gift that the Lord has given us. And to share that love of God, to share that mercy of the Lord with others, is the purest love within this world that we can exchange. So what we have seen tonight, devotees chanting, dancing, this is really an exchange of hearts. The consciousness of our soul is simply giving in charity its own enthusiasm to glorify God to all the world to benefit from. So yes, throughout the country, people are giving these little paper hearts and saying, "Be my Valentine." And that's a nice sentiment. But the truth and the essence of what those people are striving to experience, we can experience this very evening by sharing our heart's love for God with one another. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. God is love, no doubt. God's love is perfect. And we are all a part of that perfect love if we simply recognize it and surrender to that love. Are there any questions? Yes.
When we are in the association of devotees, we feel very strongly about being very great in our spiritual strength to carry on. But when we are away from devotees, like right now we are with you, it's very nice. But when we go away, then it becomes very difficult. What should one do to stand for us?
What does it mean to go away? It means to forget. We are, spiritual life is not based on simply physical proximity. Spiritual life is based on the state of our consciousness. To go away from God means to forget God. To go away from our guru means to forget his instructions. To go away from the devotees means to forget our service to them and the inspiration they've given us. Like our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, in I believe it was 1967, he was becoming very ill physically, and he was desiring to go back to India, and he was thinking that perhaps if it is God's plan, I will go back to India to leave this body. And if God gives me more time on earth, I will come back to America. So when he was at the airport, everyone was crying, weeping, that we're just new devotees. We're only 1-2 years old in Krishna's service. How will we live without you? And Srila Prabhupada explained to them that I am going to Vrindavan And when he said Vrindavan, he meant one of two Vrindavans, either the Vrindavan on this earth or the Vrindavan beyond. He said, I am going to Vrindavan, and I will be chanting Hare Krishna, and if you are chanting Hare Krishna, then we are together. In that sound vibration, we are together. If you live by my instructions, we are together. Nothing can separate devotees' hearts. Nothing can separate the consciousness of love amongst devotees. If they are simply united in the glorification of God and in the service of God. So if we are sincere, we will never leave. Any other questions? Yes. Spirituality is not in the slightest way dependent on material resources. Spirituality is not dependent on any material resources. Spirituality is dependent on the supreme power of God. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most foremost proponent of spiritual life and his greatest disciple was Srila Haridas Thakur. He was born in India in a family which was considered an untouchable family. Total social outcast. He had no money. He was living in a cave. But he had the joy and the power of God within his heart. And he inspired millions upon millions of people to surrender their lives to the Lord. And to this day, 500 years later, he's still inspiring us by his example and his words. Hmm? Lord Jesus was born in a manger where they keep cows. He had no money. But he had the power of God. And we find two other devotees of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Das. They were multi-millionaires. But when they took to spiritual life, they saw it fit to give everything up. They gave it all away. And they lived the rest of their lives simply wearing one torn piece of cloth, sleeping under trees, begging for one piece of bread a day. But their books, their writing, their example, their teachings affected millions upon millions of people, and it's the basis of our whole philosophy. Huh? If you have material, if God provides material resources, we'll use it. If he provides no material resources, we don't require. All we need is one resource. The resource of compassion. If you have that one resource, you can affect this entire world. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, you know how he came to the West? He had no money. He had $8. 70 years old, he took a boat across the Atlantic Ocean, suffering heart attacks. He came to New York City. He had nothing. He was living in the Bowery. The Bowery is Skid Row, where people who are addicted to alcoholism generally and have lost everything in life in completely the most desperate condition, they just sleep on the streets. He was living amongst them. What asset did he have? Compassion. Nothing else. He even wrote to India and asked people in India to send some wealth to help him. They said, no. We don't believe it's possible that you can spread pure religion in the West. The place is too sinful. That's what they told him. And now look, this temple, it may not be that much, but it's his temple, not ours. In fact, simply by his compassion, he just did nothing but preach the truth and chant the name of God. Millions of people's lives were affected. Soon 108 temples, just in his very life, were opened under his divine direction. But he claimed proprietorship to nothing. That is the power of compassion. If you simply have that one quality, one of the symptoms of love is compassion. You have that one attribute, all the power of God will be behind you. That's all we need. That is the greatest misfortune in human society. We do not have time for the purpose of our life. We are not concerned with dismantling. We are concerned with simply presenting the truth. Even within this system, if people live according to the truth, their hearts will become purified. We don't have time to get involved in politics. First dismantle the system, then people will listen. No. First preach the truth, speak the truth, live the truth. The problem is not the society. The problem is you and me. The problem is me. My unwillingness to surrender is creating assistance to this whole illusion around me. Is a fact. Social systems and politics, they are always changing, and whatever change will be, it will change again. Whatever change you make, however idealistic it'll be, in due course of time, the people in power become corrupt, and it becomes worse than the previous political regime. Right? So therefore we want nothing to do with all this stuff. If a person's heart is pure, whether they're communist, capitalist, socialist, the whole world will be in great spiritual prosperity. If they're simply utilizing whatever they have in the selfless, compassionate service of God, that is the necessity. But what did they do? That was their platform to spread love of God. Huh? No matter how many zeros you have, it all adds up to zero unless there's a one in front. Unless there is love of God, everything else ends in zero. No matter what you do, no matter what you call it, no matter how you organize it, it's all zero. It all culminates in death. Therefore, Krishna consciousness, the lack of God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, is the only problem on earth. Everything else will follow if that's there. And the establishment of Krishna consciousness is the only solution. Any other questions? So, let us celebrate by chanting Krishna's names together. Would everyone like to do?
Yes.